Hey, our message this morning is going to be confession of sin, or God forgives us of our sins. And our text this morning will be a continuation of 1 John chapter 1. I started with verse 1, preached 1 through 4, and then 5 through 6. And this morning will be 8 through 10. But I want to go back and read verse 5, which it's kind of like an introduction to this message where it talks about God is light. God is light of the world, and where there is light, there is no sin, no darkness. So, let's look at verse 5 first of all. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. Verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, that's verse 5. That kind of gives us an overview of what we have talked about the last couple weeks in this particular text. Now, let's move on to verse 8. There we go. All right. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make God," this verse is saying, "a liar, and his word is not in us." It means that we're not practicing the word as we should, which would be the world's point of view, not Christian's point of view. So, looking at this text, and I was thinking about the things that have all gone wrong within this world. There's many enemies in this world, and sin is behind it all. From the very beginning of when sin entered the world, and oftentimes we wonder why things happen the way they are. Why is there so much trouble and chaos in the world today? It's because of disobedience, and disobedience led to sin. And it's throughout the Old Testament, and it runs into the New Testament. The prophets all had to deal with it. Moses had to deal with it. Noah dealt with it. The disciples had to deal with it. And Jesus said there's a remedy to sin. That's why he came into this world, to forgive us of our sins, that we might have eternal life and take us out of that darkness of sin and place us on higher ground, which is the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why it's so important that when we look at Scripture, we look at it in a way that, how does it apply to our lives? And as we look at Scripture, it speaks to us individually differently, because all of us are somewhere different in our relationship with the Lord. We're progressing. We are to be growing and on the upward plane in our spiritual relationship with God. You know, the fellowship that we have with God is very important on a daily basis, because if we are not going forward, that means we're going backwards, right? Sometimes we take three steps forward and one back, but we want to keep moving forward in our progress. And sin is a barrier for us. It's a wall sometimes. It's a distraction in our lives sometimes. And when I think about all forms of life, I think about every form of life has its enemy. Even insects have to watch out for hungry birds, right? And everything is placed upon this earth for some reason. One is dependent upon the other. You think about that. And birds must keep an eye on the hungry cats and dogs, right? I see cats chasing birds. They chase a lot of things. Dogs chase them as well. Every human being has to dodge automobiles, right? And we have to fight off germs. We're always washing our hands. I think we're too sanitary nowadays because we're always using this hand cleanser and so forth. And then when we don't, we get a germ, and then we get sick, right? So that's why we have the primary and secondary immune system in our bodies to ward off those things. But spiritual life has its enemies too. And that's what we deal with on the spiritual side of our life. See, we can't get rid of our old nature. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed, which means the old nature, the sins that we committed, and new things have come. That means we are to walk in the newness of life with Christ. But we will never be able to get rid of this old nature, the flesh, as long as we live on this earth, until we step into the plains of heaven one of these days, and then all that will be behind us. But here on earth, we battle with that. We battle with the word sin. And this enemy is sin. So, sin is darkness. It's pretty cloudy. It'll cloud our mind. But the good side of that is what? God is light. He brightens up things in our life, right? Just like nature's trying to get us brightened up while we're going. All these good songs. Do you like the songs this morning, the choices of songs this morning? They were good, wasn't it? And Sandy, thank you for that song that you played for the offertory. All those familiar songs in there that helps us to think about our worship time with the Lord. So sin is darkness and God is light. And the contrast is evident just as our walking in light should contrast with walking in darkness. So our text last week taught us that walking in light is blessed by the fellowship with God and with brethren and experiencing the purification of Jesus's spilt blood, which talks about that in verses 6 and 7. That's why he came into this world, to forgive us of our sins. And we say if we haven't sinned, then we call God a liar. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. So, this morning, as we look at this walking in light, also does something else. It intensifies our consciousness of sin, and therefore our desire to get rid of it. You know, when the Holy Spirit surfaces something in our lives and it names it, it calls it out in our lives, and we are to examine our lives in comparison to what that sin is, then we are to get rid of it because it's a barrier, it's a hindrance to our relationship and our spiritual growth. And we are to grow. I mean, look at a child, a baby. They are to grow. They're not just supposed to stay a baby all their life, right? Sometimes we stay babes in our Christian life if we're not growing spiritually in the Word of God. But a baby is not going to stay small because it's fed repeatedly and nourished with the things that helps it grow and mature in the adulthood to be wholesome and healthy. And we want to be healthy in the Word of God. And that's why God has given us His Word. So we rid ourselves of sin by confessing to God. We confess our sin to God. So no one can live in the light without being overwhelmingly convinced that he still sins and is not pure, the human race itself. So going back, looking at this particular scripture and the fellowship that we are to have with God, fellowship with God and with each other is broken unless we recognize daily, I want to repeat that we're are missing the mark of high calling of God and confessing our sins when we fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and come short of His glory, the Scripture says. So, you know, this is honesty. This honesty before God results in forgiveness and cleansing. When you think about cleansing, you think about, you know, you don't want to wear the same old clothes, dirty clothes, day after day after day. If you do, what happens? You can take them off and stand up in the corner and they stand, right? That's what happens when we don't wash our clothes. They become so tainted and dirty that they can stand up on their own. And so we don't want to be that burdened and tainted with sin in our lives. So now, let's look at one of the ways that God is willing to forgive us of our sin. Because with the time and everything, we want to look at the recognition of sin. We must recognize sin in our lives. And see, we have a lot of help in that area. We don't have to figure that out on our own. You know, it would help if, you know, God didn't have to remind us, but He does. And that's a responsibility of the Holy Spirit. And you better be glad that the Holy Spirit does remind you. If the Holy Spirit is not reminding you of sin in your life, unconfessed sin, then something is wrong with your relationship. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit reminds me of every time I slip up and make a mistake or I sin, I correct it right then. I recognize it and I do something about it and I automatically say, Lord, boy, did I slip up? You know, we can blame it on our human side, but it all boils down that we have a sinful nature. But as Christians, we have the forgiveness of our sins and God shows mercy on us. And when He does that and the Holy Spirit surfaces something in our lives, right then say, Lord, You're right. I got to get rid of that. Get it behind me and move on. So, in verse 8, it teaches us that no matter how good we think we are or that our fellowship with God and others is, we must realize that we are still sinning. So, in verse 8, going back to that verse, it says, if we should say that we have no sin, have you ever said that? I've heard people say that. I don't sin. I'm making mistakes. Well, that is sin, right, according to the Bible. So, if we should say that we have no sin, we are deceiving or misleading or not living in the truth. That's what it boils down to. Ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what it means, misleading ourselves or deceiving ourselves, and we're not living up to the truth. So, some people are sinning horrendous sin or evil, such as murder. They think we're murder or adultery or stealing and something. Those are horrendous, and those are bad. But we fail to realize sin is also the waywardness that plagues most of us day by day. According to James, he said, if we committed one sin, it's as though we have committed them all, because in the sight of God, sin is sin. And John is pointing this out. He said, don't lessen yourself or make it greater or less than what it is. Sin is sin. So, daily, we don't believe, we don't think, we don't act as we should, but as we shouldn't. So, the definition of sin is God's domain. It's God's domain. His prerogative is not man. But in verses 6, 8, and 10, there's three common false professions that people make. And one of them is, if we say. If we say. How many of you said, how many have ever used that word if? You hear it a lot out on a golf course, if. if I'd have made that good shot, you know, I'd be on the green. If I hadn't made a bad shot, this or that. So we use that if a lot. If, you know, is a word. It's two little word, but it's a big word when it comes to how we want to compromise or justify a lot of things. If. So, three common false professions that people make. The first is the indicated by the phrase, if we say. The second is that people have no natural tendency towards sin and sinning. That's another false profession that people make. And then the third is only some people say so, but many think man is naturally good. Well, you know, I hear people say, that is a good person. I hear that all the time, and that's true, right? In our science and everything. And it's according to what we view and see, and that's okay. But it doesn't erase the fact that we are all sinners. Now, only one human being has ever been able to say that, right? And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I always do the things which are pleasing to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that every day? That I always do the things which are pleasing to God. Now, we do want to do that, right? But we, on the human side, we fall short of that sometimes. And you see, Jesus kept that close connection. He stayed in constant in prayer with the Heavenly Father. I mean, he was perfect in all ways. But you see, he set that example, and we even more so need to go to the Lord in prayer. If we spent more time in the attitude of prayer, that don't mean we have to be on our hands and knees 24/7, but if we were in the attitude and mode of prayer like Jesus was, we would be less likely to be sinful or live the sinful nature as we do. But when we do, then we ask God for forgiveness of that. So, Jesus said, I always do the things which are pleasing to God. He said that in John chapter 8:29. He said that in verse 46. And then he also said that in chapter 14 of John, verse 30. So, the refusal to recognize and admit the sin that is within our life is to lead to self-delusion, according to what the scripture is saying right here. There was a man who was walking down the street one day, and he saw these group of boys surrounded this dog. It was a stray dog and so forth. And so, in the dog's defense, he thought, well, maybe he would go over and see what they were up to and see if this dog, particular dog, was in any danger at all. And he said, what are you boys doing? What's going on here? This is a stray dog, and all of us are trying to decide who's going to get this dog, so whoever can tell the biggest lie will get to take this dog home. He said, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't be telling false truth and so forth. He said, when I was your age, I never lied or did anything distasteful or lied about anything like that. So there was a lot of silence there for a few minutes. And one little boy said, well, okay, he has won. This man gets to take the dog home. Well, they recognized, you know, that this man was not telling the truth either, and he told the biggest lie, so he got to take the dog home. So we have to be careful. You know, kids know. They know. They know what's right and wrong. They don't always practice it just like we do. But this man, he told the biggest lie there. That's for sure. So we smile at that. But the fact is that we've been guilty of some point in time in our lives of stretching the truth. One of my object lessons over the years at church camp with the juniors is I've got two pieces of object, a little curved pieces of cardboard, and one's white, one black. And I configure it and move it around and everything. And one looks longer than the other until you put them side by side. So in the sight of God, it doesn't matter how big or how small the sin is, it's still sin in the sight of God, whether it's a white sin or a black sin. And we might tolerate, you know, some lies, calling them exaggerations, or like when we add a few inches to a big fish that we caught. I don't have to worry about that because Brenda and I, when we go fishing, she always takes pictures of mine and hers. And hers is always like this, and mine's like this. So, by the way, one morning I showed up in my office, it's been years ago, and there was a little fish with a sign on it that said, "Fish Stories Told Here." And I thought, now who in the world would have put that on my desk? Well, come to find out, it was Brenda. Bought that and put there because she said fish stories here are told here. Well, we had some good times fishing in our day and so forth, and we did have some good fish stories, but they's always true stories. According to Scripture, anyone who says that he doesn't sin is telling a lie, the biggest lie of all. And that's what John's talking about here this morning. So, the closer a man walks in fellowship with God, who God is light, the more he realizes the absolute purity of God's holiness. You know, it's very clear as we walk closer to God, we can see his holiness even more so because we're walking in that light. We're walking in his holiness. We're walking in the light of God. So it's very important that we see that. So, impurity and sinfulness, you know, Job talks about that in chapter 9, 14 and 15, in chapter 24. In Proverbs, Solomon talks about that, about impurity and about sinfulness, and in Ecclesiastes as well. So, of far short of the glory or perfection of God, he still falls, according to Romans 3:23. See, pride goes before the fall. You think about that. Pride. Pride's a big thing in our lives, isn't it? We're proud of a lot of things, but if it goes too far, too deep, it can become sin in our lives if we don't watch it. So if you see a little or no sin in your life, then you need more and longer exposure to the truth. And we need that in our lives. So if you are satisfied with your righteousness, you need to see the true righteousness. You need to see what it is in light of what the Scripture says. So as one hears, reads, and studies and meditates on the truth, you become more aware of how far or how short you fall and your great need for continuing your walk with the Lord, and since he is light. That's very important for us to understand this morning. Years ago, a radio station received a letter from a man who attended sheep in the fields and so forth. And this was actually, it was an isolated ranch in western of the United States. He was out, kind of like shepherds in the Old Testament, attending sheep and so forth. He was out of touch with a lot of things. And the only way that he found comfort and so forth was he had a violin. And it just so happened that violin had gotten out of tune, so he wrote a letter to the radio station to play the A chord on the piano there in the studio in order for him to be able to tune his violin according to hearing that note on the piano. Isn't that ironic? They had never gotten a request like that before and probably never will. So, isn't that a picture of us when our lives get out of tune with Jesus? We need some kind of a connection, something to retune our relationship or get our fellowship back with God. See, the string of moral conviction, once attuned to God's word, become loose with God and others in life. So, when we think about our life and our relationship with the Lord, you know, sometimes it's selfish attitudes or negative thinking. How many of you like to be around positive people? I love that. We don't need any negativity in the Christian life, especially. We need to have more positive outlooks on life. You know, there is times for corrections and things in our lives, and God will point those out. And sometimes godly people help us recognize that in our own life as well. But if we will stay in tune and connected with God, then, you know, we don't have to worry about what the world thinks about us if we are doing what we are called to do as Christians. So secret sins rarely distort the tone of the outward respectively, but sooner or later, off-key word and deed betrays that something is wrong inside. Something. And the Holy Spirit is right there to remind us as well. So, going back to this daily confession, getting things right with God, it's very important that we need to make sure that we are in complete harmony with God. The Spirit, through the Word, gives us that assurance, that note to which we can tune our lives. So, when we are off key, when we're off key, confession retunes us. How many of you have a good ear for music? You know, when something is off tune, you know, you can recognize it, can't you? And it doesn't flow. But when everything is in tune, it's beautiful, isn't it? Music is beautiful. You know, our singing with music is beautiful. The same with our lives. When our lives are in tune with God, our lives are beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Everything is gorgeous in our walk with the Lord. So we need to listen for God's true note. That's the Word of God. We need to recognize when we're off key with God. So, in light of these facts this morning that I've given you a lot of things, and I could give you a whole lot more this morning, because scriptures really are here to aid and help us as Christians, as people, to stay in tune with God. So we should confess rather than rationalize or deny sin. We need to trust Him for the power to live as He commands. And when we do fail, and I've often said, run to God. He loves for us to run to Him, come to Him, and He will give us the power to live the life He wants us to live. And see, He stands ready. God stands ready to forgive, cleanse, and to empower us to live like he wants us to live, like we should live, and how we should want to live our life. The Word of God is right there, right here. That's why He's given it to us, to stay on track with Him. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that You make it clear to us. You don't sugarcoat it. But Lord, you do it in the right spirit, the spirit of truth and light. And help us to realize, Lord, that we're under your grace and your mercy. As Paul says in chapter 6 of Romans, that shall we sin that more grace shall abound? And you say, forbid it not. Why should we want to when we should be walking in the newness of life? Because we're buried in the likeness of your death and raised in the likeness of your resurrection, that we might walk just like Jesus did, in pure and true obedience. Lord, help us each one examine ourselves on a daily basis. And sometimes we might need to do it hourly or by the minute, because time has a way to getting away from us, neglecting, the 24-hour period where that we go about without recognizing any sin at all. Lord, I thank you for the positive influence that we have in our lives of those that we look up to and those who have lived before us, who trusted in you and lived according to your will. And we think of all the prophets and all those, Lord, that you used through the word. They weren't perfect, but you say they walked with you. And Lord, may that be said of each one of us here this morning, that we walk with you, that we stay close to you. Our fellowship and our connection to you is very precious. Whatever the need is here today, Lord, you know what it is, and I think that each one of us, if we truly examine our own heart and look at it inwardly, we recognize where we do fall short. But thank goodness for your grace and your mercy. Thank goodness for your forgiveness. You're willing to forgive us of all sin. Lord, this is your invitation this morning. May we take it serious. May we listen to your Holy Spirit and respond openly and freely by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning. Be up on our screen this morning. If God is calling you to make a decision this morning, as it says, have thine own way, Lord. If we say that, then it makes it easier to take that first step. Let us sing. You come as we sing.